This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris filling in for McGraw. Kelly's here with me in the studio, and on the phone is Robert Baer, who spent more than two decades as a case officer for the CIA. Case officer, I believe, would be a code name for an assassin, because that's essentially what he did. And now he's out with a brand new book called The Perfect Kill, which includes his 21 laws for other assassins. Robert Baer, welcome to the Big 550.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on here today. I know that one of your previous books, See No Evil, was the basis for George Clooney's movie, Syriana. Before we talk about the business of being an assassin, I'm curious whether you think movies have ever gotten your job right.
Well, you know, I sort of like Syriana because it was so complicated. Hey, sometimes I couldn't follow it myself, but they generally don't. If there's anything that I like about sort of working in a bureaucracy, if you like, it's The Wire. Sort of my favorite, because that whole management, the decision making, all sounds like the CIA.
Yeah,
all the same problems. A couple people trying to do the right thing and sort of being stymied. But no, they don't show it right.
One of the things that you talk about in The Perfect Kill is how much better you and your fellow assassins are at getting the job done than the men and women who are operating our drones at orders from the Pentagon and raining down hellfire from the sky. What's the difference?
A lot of these drone attacks are what are called signature attacks. You know, you see three or four people in a field with Kalashnikovs, and they fire at them, and you end up killing the wrong people. I mean, you know, we have to look at Abbottabad and killing bin Laden, and that wasn't done with a drone, you know.
Yep.
They knew that the best thing to do is put people on the ground and shoot him, and that's what happened. So it's always much more effective, and also terrifying the enemy and sending a message is to get the right person. You don't want to kill everybody in the room. You just want to kill the one person who's a problem. And as I liken him to, is to a cancerous cell. And, you know, people always will sort of buck at the morality of this. But remember, if we killed Hitler in 1944, we would have saved a lot of lives and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody doubts that.
But aren't there places that even trained assassins like yourself can't get to? And that's where the drones are a little bit more useful?
In Waziristan, yes. In Pakistan, you cannot get up there because there's tribal groups that everybody knows each other. And you just simply can't drive up there in a taxi or any way. And drones are the only way. It's the problem is, again, they're just not that accurate. And there's, you know, we haven't broken the back of Al-Qaeda because we've got something worse today. It's called ISIS. So we've gone from the, you know, limited to Pakistan to all over the Middle East, Syria, Iraq, moving to Mali and Africa and everywhere. So, you know, it's. I think at the end of the day, it's been ineffective, and that's one reason the Democrats, you know, this president took such a big hit yesterday, is, you know, we're just sort of playing at this game but not really doing it.
How many people are there doing the job you used to do?
Well, in the military, there's a lot of people. The military doesn't call it assassination. They call it targeted killings. And you've got the SEALs, Delta Force, Rangers, even Air Force unit, Joint Special Operations Command. That's what they do for a living, and they're very, very good at it. And they've had years of practice. And if a JSOC ever comes after you, you just sort of know that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most important law out of those 21 laws for assassins?
I think the most important one is the one I said, don't shoot everybody in the room. The whole idea is this is going to sound really weird, but assassination has to be perceived as an act of justice, that the person that's killed deserved it, Hitler, for one, or Saddam Hussein when I tried to get him in 95. He clearly deserved it. He was a monster, and even the Iraqis around him would have understood the motivation. It's when you end up planting a car bomb in a city, going after one person, killing hundreds of people, that it's no longer an act of justice.
Who gets to decide who deserves it? Do you ever get to make that call in the field?
No, it's the whoever you're working for.
So
Congress has got to be involved. And, you know, Congress is in all these drone attacks have been involved in every single one of them. you get notifications. They call it the Gang of Eight, both the Senate and the House. The president consults them, the Department of Justice. You can't just be, a captain in the field saying, hey, that guy's annoying me. No, it's got to go right up the chain and has to. It has to be legal.
So when you're in the field and the order comes down, here's your target, you don't have to think twice about, I didn't think that this guy was that bad. You just go and do the job.
Yeah, you don't ever think about the orders. I mean, you know what the legal authorities are and you know why. And if somebody, like when I was going after Saddam in 95, I knew exactly what he did. I mean, he was destroying the country and murdering hundreds of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And it was headed to nowhere good. And in fact, it ended up in an invasion. And my whole point is, our point then was, if you got rid of Saddam at that point, you wouldn't have had to invade, and I still think I'm right.
You write a lot about the Middle East here, and particularly about Hezbollah, who at one point were coming after you big time. And now in the last several years, since leaving the CIA, you've gone public. You wrote Syriana. You've written several books. Your name is out there. Don't you worry about backlash and threats to your person?
That's a good point. I just got an email from Al Jazeera yesterday in preparation for this book. They aired the documentary on Al Jazeera, and promptly the Iranians closed the Al Jazeera office, threw everybody out because of my interview.
Wow.
And I got called by the FBI a couple months ago, says you're on a list. Mm. Yeah, so it's a concern.
You talk in the book about these various rules, and one of them has to be never let anybody know about your personal life. Because in addition to worrying about you getting targeted, you have to worry about your loved ones, your friends, etc., right?
Yeah, about myself, it's less concern. You just sort of subtract it from your life, but it's the people around you that don't get into the bargain you got to worry about. All this social media, Facebook, Twitter, cell phones. I can turn your cell phone on remotely with one message. I can send it that will track you. I can take all your cell phone calls and have them bled off onto another line you don't even know about, and your emails. And I can do this remotely. So cell phones, dump them, especially smartphones. I mean, if you're doing anything you don't want people to find out about. If somebody's stalking you, for instance, dump them.
How can you
I mean, these little rules you just have to obey.
How can you live in the modern world without cell phones or computers or even credit cards, which you say, ditch all of that stuff because it's going to come back to haunt you? But how do you get through everyday life without that stuff?
Well, fortunately, most of it doesn't matter. But if you're doing anything, that you don't want an ex-husband or an ex-wife looking for you or something like that, it's the only way to survive, because there is no such thing as privacy anymore.
Yeah.
None. Zero. This can all be done from overseas and remotely, or the mob can do it, and the rest of them. Most of us don't have to worry about it.
How did you growing up, did you always say, okay, I wanted to be a CIA operative? I mean, what fueled your want to do this?
I always wanted to be a ski racer. I grew up in Colorado, a downhill racer. So it was always an adrenaline rush. And then I actually applied to the CIA as a prank in 76. I never thought they'd take me.
Mom, Dad, I want to be a ski racer, but my fallback job will be CIA assassin. Well, honey, whatever,
yes.
Whatever works for you. The book is a terrific read, and not just for potential assassins who want to follow in your steps or other failed ski racers, but for everybody who wants to know about this. And there's really great insight here into what we're doing right and more often doing wrong in the Middle East. It's called The Perfect Kill, 21 Laws for Assassins. Robert B. Baer, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thanks a lot.